Okay, good morning, everyone, and good Chodesh to everyone, and as always, welcome to our Sunday morning shiur. The topic of today's shiur is something which is relevant to this past week for two reasons. First of all, because we have in Parshas Toldos the well-known incident of Yaakov taking the Bechorah from Esav getting the bracha from Yisrael Avinu by impersonating Esav, which constituted some form of trickery. So that we discussed, you may recall, 2 years ago we spoke about the topic of lying for a good cause. But also this past week we had the new, recent great American holiday of Black Friday, which raises certain issues. Also in perhaps certain issues in halacha and the concept of truth in advertising and so forth. So therefore I felt that when these two issues come together in the same week, we should speak about the topic of Geneva's Das. Geneva's Das, loosely translated, means stealing someone's mind, stealing someone's opinion, meaning that you're going ahead and misleading somebody, or you're causing a person to think something which isn't valid, which isn't accurate. And that could be done in a number of ways, which we're going to discuss. And primarily breaks down into two areas: misleading someone for the purpose of doing business with them. Okay, you're going to mislead someone into thinking that an item is better than it actually is. And it also pertains equally to misleading someone in interpersonal relationships, in leading someone to think that you did a favor for them when in fact you didn't, and or so on and so forth. So this is the area that this is the area that we find in the Chazal called Geneva's Das. And just to start out, the Makar, the source for this in the Shas, is the Gemara we find in Maseches Chulin and Daf Sadi Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us it's actually, I'm going to start. It's marked off on the sheet, but I'm just in the interest of saving time. I'm going to start a little bit further down. Okay, the Gemara says, a line below where it's marked off, about 8 lines from the top. The Gemara says, the Amar Shmuel also ligno das habrios, that it is forbidden to deceive. It is forbidden to deceive a person, lignov das habrios, to steal the das of a person by deception. And this is true even by a non-Jew. There is no heter that a person says, well, the person I'm dealing with isn't Jewish. It makes no difference, as is the case with most of the laws of Zela, that there is no heter to steal from a guy, and therefore there is not only no heter to steal from a guy monetarily, but there is also no heter to do Geneva's Das with a guy. Okay, we'll see more about that soon. If we go down a few lines later, about 7-8 lines past that point, in the middle of the line, the Gemara says, Tanya, hi, Rav Meir Omer. Rav Meir used to say, Al yisarev adam l'chaveiro lisod etzlo. A person should not, yisarev means to urge, should not urge his friend to come eat in his house, v'yodea bo she'eno soe. Should not urge, you should not go invite someone over to your house if you know he's not going to come. You know that this person does not accept invitations, but you want to, get on his good side. So therefore you're going to go ahead and you're going to say, you know, why don't you come over to my house to eat? So Rav Meir said that you're not allowed to do such a thing. We'll see perhaps where this may be allowed, but generally speaking, a person is not allowed to do that. Similarly, lo yarba lo betakroves, a person should not offer gifts to somebody else, v'yodea bo she'eno mekabel, if you know that he won't take it. Right, this is already nogea this time of the year, where it became the minhag amongst the goyim to exchange gifts, and therefore very often people, you know, even Jews find themselves in situations that they have to go ahead with clients and different things and give some sort of gift. So to give a gift, you know, depending on, you know, obviously you can't give it on December 25th for the sake of the holiday, but if it's for the purpose of, you know, if this is what's being done at this time of the year and you want to go ahead and give someone a gift, so pretty much that would be okay. However, what happens if you have someone who you know isn't going to take it, and you have no intention of giving him a gift, but because you know he's not going to take it, so you go ahead and offer it to him. You say, "Yeah, I have a, you know, this person has a principle, he doesn't take, he doesn't accept gifts from anybody." You say, "Well, I have a very beautiful thing I'd like to give you." So the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. Okay? Furthermore, the Gemara says, "Lo yiftach lo chavios hamechuros lechenveni elim kein hodio." Another example would be, in the old times, they would have barrels of wine. The barrels of wine had very strong wine in them when the wine was first made, before it was diluted. So the wine held, it didn't sour, apparently because of the fact that the entire barrel was full. So it would happen that when an Adam Choshev, when a very distinguished person would come, that sometimes a person would go ahead and say, "You know, let me offer you a drink of my brand new wine," and he would open the barrel to give him, to honor him with a glass of wine, even though the result of giving him that glass of wine would be that now some wine is missing from the barrel, and the wine, possibly the rest of the wine in the barrel, may sour. It may sour quickly. If he doesn't get rid of it quickly, it's going to sour. But because this man is an Adam Choshev, because this person is very distinguished, so therefore I'm offering this person a drink. So when he sees me opening this barrel of wine, he says, "Wow, what an honor. He's giving me his wine, even though I know what this is going, the consequence of this is. But nevertheless, he's offering me the wine. He must hold me in very high esteem." So the Gemara says, now, that in itself is fine. But what about a situation where the winemaker has already signed a deal with a retailer in an hour, the retailer is going to come and pick up the wine, and therefore all his wine is going to be sold very quickly anyway. So opening the barrel for this particular person is not a show of any honor, because of the fact that there's no risk. All my wine is sold. It's gonna go ahead. You know, I'm not taking any chances. The wine is going to be given to a distributor, and it's going to go out very quickly. But the person who I'm offering the wine to doesn't realize that. He doesn't realize that. I say to him, "Oh, look, you see here, my barrel of wine. Let me open the barrel of wine to give you a drink." So I'm misleading him into thinking that I am doing this for his benefit, and therefore he is going to feel a certain indebtedness to me. Says the Gemara, this is usur. The person is not allowed to do this because, again, this is misleading him. Okay? So that's the Gemara says, "Layiftachol chavios hamechuros lechenveni." A person should not open a barrel of wine that, you know, he has already sold, meaning that there is no risk by him opening the wine, but the person who he's giving it to is going to be misled into a false honor. Elam kein hodiu, unless you tell him. Says the Gemara, one final case. V'lo yomar lo soch shemen mipach reikon. A person should not go with an empty jar of oil. In the old times, people would anoint themselves with oil. A person should not take an empty jar of oil and go to someone who he knows will not accept it and say, "Here, would you like to anoint yourself with oil? I have this empty jar of oil. Would you like some?" So the Gemara once again says, Rav Meir says here in the Braisa that a person is not allowed to do any of these things. However, here we have an exception, v'im v'shvil chvodo mutter. However, if you are doing it for that person's honor, so then it is permitted. And this we will see more about in a little while. So this is the basic overview. Here we're speaking, so as I said from the outset, there are two types of deception. There's monetary deception, where you're misleading a person into doing business with you, which we are not speaking about at the moment. We will get to that later on. But for that, the second type of deception is where you are misleading a person into thinking that he should be indebted to you because you're doing him a favor, because you hold him in great esteem by making him an offer, and he doesn't realize that that offer is fake, and you're just doing it to get a false benefit. You're trying to get on his good side, but you're not really offering him anything. And that would also constitute Geneva Stas. Now, in our world, in the great capitalistic society that we live in, where, you know, business is this tremendous competition, and it's very difficult. Each one's trying to either maintain his standing or even get ahead. And then a lot of these situations come up, and they're very challenging, you know, especially in the great world of advertising that we have, where you have all kinds of ads, and how often is it that we find you read an advertisement, you didn't read the fine print, and you were misled into thinking something, and you didn't realize, you know, that they send you a check in the mail, and you sign it thinking they're giving you a matana, and then you realize that you just agreed to have $100 taken on your credit card every month, you know, because of some dubious benefit that you're getting. So today we live in a world where there's a lot of challenges. So it's important to know, first of all, where it's permitted, where it's not, and also what is the severity of this issur. So if we turn over the page, we have here the Ritva, one of the Rishonim in his commentary to the Gemara that we just read in Chulin. The Ritva says, it's underlined on the top line, the issur genevas das Shalena Yehudi, he means even of a guy, a Jew, and as a guy as well. Kosfu tzas raboseinu b'shem bale hatosusal shehu iser Torah. So the Ritva tells us that this prohibition of Geneva's das is an iser Torah, it's an iser d'oraisa. This is prohibited by the Torah itself. Where does it say in the Torah that you're not allowed to do Geneva's das? Says the Ritva, d'nafkalon midiksiv lo signovu. It says in the pasuk lo signovu that you should not steal, and the Ritva says that they had a kabbalah that not stealing includes even genevas das, not just genevas mamon, but even genevas das. This is what the Ritva tells us. We could see further if you look down at the Rambam here. The Rambam in his halachas skip over the next one just for a moment. If we go to the third quote here on the page, the Rambam in the Hilchos Mechira says, "Osur l'ramos es b'nei adam b'mekach u'memkar olignov daitam." It's prohibited to deceive a person in business or to deceive them in their mind. Ve'echad goyim ve'echad yisroel b'davar zeh. There is no difference between a Jew and non-Jew. You're not allowed to deceive anybody. Okay, so the Rambam says, when it comes to monetary matters, the simple case, if a person is selling an item that has a defect, yodio lilokeach. Okay, if a person is selling an item that he knows, talking now about the monetary deception, right, if you're selling a person an item and you know it has a defect, you have to point it out to him. You have to point it out to that person. You can't just assume that he knows it. If it's something that's obvious, you don't have to highlight it. But if there's something there that's not visible and you know there's something wrong, to sell it is wrong, even if it does not affect the price that you're charging him. Meaning, if you sell a person a car that has a bad transmission, And you know it's going, but he doesn't know that, then perhaps even the mechanic wouldn't right away pick it up, but you just know, you happen to know that the transmission is going. So to charge the person the regular price for the car when it has a faulty transmission, that's outright geneva. That's not geneva's das. That's outright geneva, because you're charging a price which isn't correct. You're charging the price of a regular car, and it isn't worth that price. This has a defect. Okay, so that's not even the discussion here. The discussion of Geneva's Das is even if your price will reflect the fact that it has this defect. But the guy who's buying it doesn't know prices, and he doesn't realize it. In other words, he's not aware. Now, you're not overcharging him. The fact of the matter is that he's a novice. He's never bought used cars before. So he doesn't know, and you happen to be a big expert, and you know the prices, and you know that, well, a car, you know, you ask him, how much do you want to pay for a car? So he tells you a very low price, because that's how much money he has. So you know right away, the used car salesman, right, says, well, for that price, he can't get a regular car, but I can sell him a car with a fair transmission for that price. But the guy you're selling it to doesn't realize that. So you have to tell him. You have to tell him, because that's the thing. You can say to him, look, the price that you want to pay is, you can tell him exactly that. The price you want to pay does not get you the type of car that you want. What it can get you is a car that has a questionable transmission. Listen, it'll get you around for a while. I can't promise you how long it's going to last. But if you just need a car to come and go, you know, to do your errands, then, you know, this may be what you're looking for. But to hold it back from him is Ganeva's Das. So I want to again make clear, to withhold information that affects the price is Ganeva's Mammon. That's not Ganeva's Das. It's outright Ganeva. There's no hetzer for that. That deception in such a case, that you're charging him more than what it's worth, that there is no hetzer whatsoever. Right? Here, we're talking, there's also no hetzer whatsoever, but this is a little different. Here, it's easier to rationalize, because a person could say that, well, he's not being ripped off. He doesn't realize, but he's not being ripped off. So that also, a person is obligated to say. This so says the Rambam, and it's brought as well in Shulchan Aruch. Yes?
Isn't there some assumption of ability and maturity in
Okay, so the caveat emptor, which the capitalistic world goes by, may not always hold up in halacha. In other words, let the buyer beware. You know, today, you know, when you go to, I don't want to say anything, I have nothing against used car salesman. I happen to have one in my family who happens to be a wonderful person, but it's just, that's the classical example of a person who you might be a little, no offense if there's anyone here, I don't mean that. It could be in any field, but everyone knows that in certain situations you have to be very careful. Right? Everyone knows that. But even so, that does not empower the vendor to be dishonest. In other words, you can't say, well, he should know that I'm a ganav, so therefore, my reputation precedes me. All over town they know I'm a crook. So you walked into my store, what do you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
Right? That's not a hetzer. That is not a hetzer. Right? So now, I'm not saying, now it's true that if you, I had this experience years ago myself when I was in Kollel, I had a jalopy that I drove around, and eventually it came to the point that we needed a bigger car, and I put it in the bylines or something, you know, to sell, and I finally got a bite. Somebody called me, wanted to come see the car, and I made up to meet in a certain place, and this fellow wearing a leather jacket on a motorcycle comes screeching up to where I was standing. I was afraid for my own safety, and he gets off and he starts asking me, and here I'm thinking, you know, and he looks at the car. It was a beaten up car, and he says, okay, I'll take it. So, and I start thinking, and ever since, I start saying, yeah, but there's a hole over here, and there's this over there, and, you know, he started looking at me like, you're going to talk me out of buying it? I told you I'll take it. So you have to know the situation. If there are certain times a person might know that the buyer in that situation is, you know, if you advertise the defects too much, obviously you'll scare off any potential buyer. So we can't say that nobody would do business ever in that, unless you sold totally perfect things all the time, which would eliminate anyone from being in the used business. Selling anything used, you would already run into these problems. So I'm not saying that you have to actively talk him out of it, but if there is a defect that is significant, you have to point it out to him. You have to point it out to him. If he says, I'll take it anyway, then fine. You want to say, but on the other hand, it does have redeeming qualities, you know, aside from this, but it also drives very well, and it has this and that, the other thing, and, you know, so that's fine. But the deception is not right yet.
But the majority of contracts, they say you have access to anything you want. You can check it out, send it to a mechanic, find it yourself.
Okay, so this a person would have to ask a rug. I can't, the ins and outs, it's too complicated. In the business world, there are too many, you know, you have all the fine prints, and you know, they have teams of lawyers working on all these contracts to make every diuk, you know, the great, like the Rishonim and the Shas, you know, they make every diuk and every word of the contract. So, alright, yeah, a person would have to, if it's a real shaila, a person would have to speak to a posek, a top posek to know the ins and outs of this. Yes?
I think what he's asking is, what if the law of the land is that?
The law of the land will not necessarily legitimize Zeil in the Torah. In other words, meaning that even if there's a situation, I don't know. I can't say, obviously. If you have something in mind, maybe, you know, that you would have to ask a person who knows Chosh and Mishpat very well. You have to speak to some dayan who could tell you the ins and outs. But it's the general concept is, if there is a significant defect, you have to tell the person. They at least should be aware of it. Now, if you say, look, take, you know, you want to sell a house to somebody, and say, well, you're going to get it inspected. Okay, see, so the inspector should pick it up. Okay, it could be that that's good enough. I don't know. Maybe that is. You know, in other words, because that you won't get a mortgage unless you get an inspection, and the inspector is going to come looking for problems. So, you know, maybe that's good. I don't know. The nitty gritty is beyond the parameter this year. I don't know it well enough myself. I'll be honest. I don't want to deceive anybody. I don't know this well enough myself.
Leave it up to the inspector without saying anything, or should you say
it? If there's a serious problem and it could be missed, you have to tell them. If there's a serious problem that could be missed, if it wouldn't be missed, you know, then okay. I don't know. You know, it's hard to say for sure. It's hard to say for sure. Yes, sir.
And what about as is?
I'm sorry?
What about
as is? Okay, all right. An as is sale. But again, if you know that somebody put a bomb in the foundation of the house that's on a timer and you sold it to him as is, so that I would imagine is Gnevis Mas. It's probably Gnevis Mas too. But in other words, it depends what. A lot of this is judgment. A lot of this is judgment. Okay, listen, I can't say anything more. Okay, well, we'll see. Okay, now that's okay. So we'll see about this. Just continuing along here, the Rambam. If you look at the second citation here on the page, the Rambam in the Hilchos Deos says that Osur LaAdam LaHanig Asmo V'Divrei Chalokos UPitoy, which loosely translated means a person cannot be a smooth talker. Right, a smooth talker means that, you know, I could talk a person into anything, and I can convince him to do all kinds of things because I'm very smooth, and therefore I could sell him things which are bad quality or whatever, because this is not limited to business, it's also in personal relationships. Okay, it says the Rambam, Lozia achas betev achas belev. A person is not supposed to be what we would call a phony. A person is not supposed to be with a different mouth than mind, meaning that, you know, in his heart he knows one thing, he feels one way, but in his mouth he's saying something else. Ela toko kibaro. But rather, a person is supposed to be toko kibaro, which means that his inside and his outside should be the same. In other words, if he outwardly projects himself a certain way, today everyone is concerned about their image, right? Today, probably more than ever before, people are very concerned about their image and the first impression, and people go to all kinds of great lengths to make all kinds of impressions on people. But a person has to be toko kibaro. The impression that you make on somebody else is all fine and good so long as it reflects who you truly are. But if it's not that way, right, if it's not that way, then you can't. And by the way, it's not limited to business. This is true, you know, a person projects himself as a great tzaddik or a great scholar, right? We all know the old joke that they say about the fellow who moved into a community and wanted it honors, so he announced that he's an expert in half of the shots. So people right away, the longdom in the town said, wow, unbelievable, let's go speak to him. So they would go ask him, this one asked him a question. Every question he was asked, he said, that's from the other half. I know half of the shots. Your question is in the other half. Right? And he went on doing this, right? This would also be an inyan of Geneva Stas, because not Tokel Kabaris, it's not who you are. This is not who you are, so what are you projecting that image for? Right? If we skip down to the end of the Rambam, skip a few lines, the Riwu Mila Akas Shel Pitoy. Even one word, says the Rambam, a pitur shel genevas das asurah, elasfas emes, but rather a person should speak truth, veruach nochon, velev tar, v'kol amal v'havas, a person should have a pure heart and should come across that way. What's called the Yiddish expression, a person being erol, A person being Eruv, which has no, you know, exact definition, but being genuine and sincere and what he says he means, and he holds by what he says, and that, the Rambam says, is the way a person is supposed to be.
When you tell somebody, how are you? You don't really mean it.
Okay, so we're going to see about that. I'm going to get to that. Okay, so now, all right, the Rabbeinu Yonah, just have to move here a little bit. The Rabbeinu Yonah said the Shari Tshuva. I'm not going to read it inside, but also one could read this, and he says, if you look at the last couple of lines, he says, V'hine achet hazeh chomor etzuchach mi'Yisrael, yoter migezel anochri. He says that in certain ways, this is considered more severe even than actual Gneva. Yanu b'yanki, sfasheker ashma rabba, says the Shari Tshuva, because to speech in the Torah reflects the godless Adam. The fact that a person has the ability to speak is what puts people above all the other creations in the world, right? Animals cannot speak. And speech of a person is supposed to reflect his chokhmah, supposed to reflect his wisdom and his judgment and his sincerity, and therefore the words that come out of a person's mouth are taken very seriously. And that's why you have in the Torah all the prohibitions relating to speech, like Lashon Hara, or even the Dorim, the fact that a person says something and it constitutes a neder for which he could be held liable if he doesn't keep it, right? So why is that? Because of the fact that speech means something. You know, it's very hard in our culture because you turn on the radio and they have talk shows on every station. How can you talk the whole day? There's nothing to talk about a whole day, right? You have, according to my calculations, 4 or 5 all sports radio stations in this town, right? So what do they have to talk about a whole day? There's not enough going on. So they talk about Narishkeit and all kinds of things. So talk is cheap. Talk is cheap in our world. Talk is very, very cheap. But in the Torah, it's just the opposite. Talk is very precious. Talk is very, very chashuv. So therefore, when a person speaks, his words mean something. So if he says, I will do something, that constitutes a nether. If it involves a mitzvah, let's say, right, that constitutes a nether. If he didn't mean to do it, or if he wasn't sure, he should say, we nether, or he might have to make ataris nedarim. If a person says something negative about somebody else, even if it's true, that's lashon hara, because what you say is precious. Talk is not cheap. This is an expression which is totally secular. It is has no basis in Yiddishkeit. So talk is precious. That is the correct expression. And therefore, speech, when it comes to, certainly when you're dealing with somebody in a way that you're trying to influence their thinking, so you have to be genuine. What are you saying? You know this isn't true. So how can you say such a thing? Yes.
Sir. Questions. If a person has been victimized by Gnei Stav, let's say.
Yeah.
And maybe there was some financial loss.
That's a good shot.
So maybe there was some financial loss.
Yeah.
Could be brought to a face then?
Okay, that's a good shot.
But from a Gnei Stav.
Okay, so the thing is this, that because it does not affect, if it affects monetary things, then it's, as I said before, that would be Gnevis Mammon. That would be, that's not even, that's better, that's, you know, stronger than that. That you could surely go to a Bezdin. If someone fraud, oh no, we spoke about once, right? If somebody fraud, if you're a victim of a fraud, then of course you can go to a Bezdin and get the money back, absolutely. But if a person is, if it's not a fraud, just that you were smooth talked into something and the price that he charged you was the right price, just that you didn't realize it. You didn't realize that what you were getting. In other words, what you get, you weren't ripped off in the true sense of the word. Because that's what it costs. However, had you known all the facts, you just wouldn't have bought it. So that you could not, generally speaking, could not recover in a bezin because that's not an outright sale. However, the person that did it may want to give it back to you if he's going to have to answer for it one day. So just because you can't get something in a bezin doesn't mean that the guy who did it to you is off the hook. By no means is that true. We have many areas in halacha that we say a person is chayav b'dinei shamayim, that a person, you in Bezdin, you can't recover it because there are certain rules but that they follow. But in heaven, a person has to answer for it. So you know, that's up to the person who you bought it from. Okay, just to run through here a number of cases. Okay, so let's first stay with the interpersonal ones, then we'll get to the business ones. Okay? As far as interpersonal relationships go, we saw in the Gemara that there could be a situation where for the honor of the person you're allowed, where for the honor of the person you are allowed to offer him something that you know he's not interested in. And the Gemara explains that what this means is that sometimes if you want to build prestige for a person, in other words, let's say you see someone in the shul or in the town and you want that people, nobody knows who he is, but you want people should honor, give honor to this person or should at least respect the person, a new person in town, and you go over to invite him over to your house knowing that he's not going to come, but you're doing it for a purpose. Your purpose is not to curry favor with him, but to rather to just that he should be respected. People should say, oh, look, he's getting an invitation. He must be an honorable man. That you're allowed to do. That's l'fi chvodo, that's not g'nei v'sas. Because even though in truth, you're not, you know, you know he's not going to take you up on the offer, but nevertheless, I'm not doing it to deceive him. To the contrary, I'm doing it for his benefit. That is considered l'fi chvodo, that is mutter. Okay, now another question which comes up is, can you, let's say, invite someone over to your home knowing that he's not going to accept it, but you genuinely would be happy if he did? In other words, to invite someone to your home and you know that he's not going to come, and that's the only reason that you're inviting him, that's g'nei v'sas. However, what happens if you're going to invite him, and you would be happy if he came, but it happens to be that you know for sure that he's not going to come. And you're doing it because you just want to, you know, you want to get on his good side, but the fact of the matter is that you know he's not going to come. So in this area there is a machlokas, the achronim that we find in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Shulchan Aruch HaRav said that one would be allowed in such a situation because you would have done it. In other words, it's not total deception, because if you would invite him. In other words, if he took you up on it, you would be okay with it. You're not opposed to him coming. Just you know he's not going to take you up on it. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that's mutter. Others disagree, but that would be another situation where perhaps a person could do it. These would be in the situations in the interpersonal area.
So that would be receiving an invitation to a chasna in Crown Heights or something.
Yeah. Okay, so here, that's right. So in other words, a common situation that we have here, many people, myself included, who married off children in other locations, made weddings in New York or different things, right? Then you send out invitations to all your friends in Miami. So now it happens to be that you know that except for your closest friends, they're not going to come. So it might cross a person's mind that, hey, I know they're not going to come anyway, so now I might as well print up 1,000 invitations, right? Send them out, I get the mailing lists from all the shuls, send them out to everybody, you know, and who knows, my kids will rake in the gift, right? And it won't cost me a penny other than the postage, because of the fact that, I know they're not coming. Right? So that would be also. That, in other words, if you know he's not going to come, but there's a positive, see, I think the Shulchan Aruch HaRav's psak can be relied on to invite a friend who you know is not going to come, because you're never convinced he's not going to come. In other words, some people will come. Other people, I wish they would come. You know, it could be they'll come. But what about a person who you're not really friends with, but you say, hey, why not? I'll just send them an invitation. Right? So that already, it depends. If it's l'fi chvodo, if it's because you had I made the wedding in Miami, I wouldn't have invited him, because it's just too expensive. But I happen to like the person. He's a nice person, and I think he would be honored if he received an invitation. So that probably also is mutter. That's all right, because you know that's what could be considered to be chvodo, and a person could also rely on the Shulchan Aruch HaRav possibly that if, in the end of the day, if he would say he's coming, you wouldn't tell him, oh no, please, it was sent to the wrong address, right? You wouldn't say that, so you ran the risk, right? So it could be that probably is okay, but to just go ahead and make it like, oh, you know, I'm making the wedding in South Africa, and by the way, you know, I you're my best friend, I want you to come, and you have nothing to do with the person, that's wrong. That would be wrong. So the judgment has to be used in these cases. Now, getting to the advertising, okay, getting back to the business, I'll try to make it quick. Obviously, this is a broad topic, and as shilas come up, a person should consult with a Mora Hora, a person who is capable of answering these types of shilas. This is a specialty area in halacha. Not everyone is familiar with the topics in monetary law, chosh mishpat, so these shilas, sometimes you have to go, you know, to a real expert. But anyway, when we talk about advertising, so that was, you know, mentioned in the beginning about Black Friday. Okay, so what about advertising an item? Okay, so now it's like this. They have this breakfast, so I'm going to try to finish before the music overwhelms us. Okay, if you put an ad for an item, okay, and you're selling an item, but you know for a fact that another store sells it cheaper, okay, you are still allowed to advertise the item. You're still allowed to advertise it. You are allowed to advertise for your business, even though you say, well, hey, the guy could, I sell shoes. Somebody else sells the same shoes cheaper? That's all right. Because you're not claiming that you have the best prices in town. You're just claiming that you're selling shoes. So that's okay. However, if you have a business that's called, let's just say, Best Buy, or a business that's called, you know, cheapest prices in town, or something like that, and you're not giving the cheapest prices in town, that's Gnevas Das. That's Gnevas Das, because he's coming to you because you advertise you have the cheapest prices in town. If in fact you don't, then you're not allowed to say that. On the other hand, if you're not claiming that, I'm just saying, listen, I want you to come to my business. To get someone to come to your business is mutter. And the poskim say that's true even with gimmicks, as long as the gimmicks are true. In other words, if you want to come up with some catchy song that you can advertise on the radio and it's going to get in people's heads and they're going to sing the song and all the way into your store, that's fine. Right? If you want to go ahead and do all kinds of different tricks, you'll give a free bowl of chon to the first 100 customers, right, that come in, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with enticing someone to come into your business so long as you are not misleading them. The whole discussion here is when there's deception involved, okay? So too, a quality item, if a person comes to buy, you know, you can, and you say, well, I know there's a different place that he could get something of better quality, that's all right, because as long as you don't claim that you have the top quality. If you're going to tell him that this is the best esrog you'll ever find, that's wrong. Because because I'm sure it isn't, but you know, to say something like that you know it's not so, and you just want to get them to buy from you, that's Gnevas Das, right? And as we said, you know, certainly to conceal something that's a defect that would not be readily apparent, that a person cannot do. Okay, a person is allowed to dress up his items to make them look nice, so long as they don't look nicer than they really are. In other words, if you want to sell an item and you want to sell a suit, so you press the suit and put it on a mannequin and it looks, you know, very impressive in the window, that's all right, because there's no deception. Okay, it looks impressive. You know, the fact that a person with discretion might say, yeah, but don't be impressed by that, look at the quality, look at this, that doesn't matter because I never claimed otherwise. All I'm doing, I sell suits. I sell men's suits. I think I have good quality suits. I have good quality suits. Do I have the absolute best quality in the world? No. If you're going to say that, then you better have the best quality. If you're going to say you have the cheapest prices in town, you better have the cheapest prices in town. It does not legitimize, if you have the cheapest price on one item, to say that you have the cheapest prices in town. In other words, to say, which is what we have today with all the fine print. You read every advertisement that has how many asterisks, you know, are found, you know, cheapest price in town. Then when you get a electronic microscope, you could read what it says here. When you hold up to a mirror, it says, except for, you know, 100 places, and all the disclaimers that are written there. So that you, in the halacha, that's not erelich to do, right? To go ahead, you know, there's an airline that advertises that they have $9 fares. Right, so yeah, you go on the $9 fares, and then you see that. But they also, by the way, we also charge you fuel charge $50 and the taxes and this. So your $9 ticket ends up being $81. Now that's still a very cheap price, That's still a cheap price, so a lot of people may use it anyway. That's fine. But to go out and say, to advertise, I have a $9 fare, where's the $9 fare? I have $9. Can I get a ticket for $9? No. So what you need to say is that, you know, I'm selling low-cost tickets. But that's not catchy. So they have to use a catchphrase that may be misleading. So I don't know. Listen, it could be you'll say, but everybody knows that. And before you buy it, you'll know. In other words, there's no surprise. Before you give in your credit card online, it will show you that you're actually paying more than the $9. Maybe that's a heter. It doesn't sound so convincing because the hook was not honest. The hook wasn't honest. In other words, even though the way you got him onto your website was by advertising something which is false. How often does that happen? You pops up on the screen, oh, you just won a free iPad or whatever. This happened to one of my kids the other day, and then they tell you basically you have to sign away all your children and all kinds of things, you know, and then they'll give it to you, but meanwhile you wasted a half hour of your time, and who knows what information you divulged already by the time you get to that point. Right, you got to give your email address right away. Immediately send them your email address, which is what they want.
I'm going out of business sale.
Going out of business.
We buy up all the inventory of all these businesses that are going out of business.
Right.
They're going out.
Okay. So all those kinds of things. If it's not Erelich, it's not right. Right. And the same thing is true. It'll end on in this area. To go ahead and tell a person that you're giving, I'm giving you a better price than I give everyone else, right? If it's not true, it's us to say that. Even if the price that you're giving him is a fair price, but you just told him something which isn't true. He's coming to you because I have the best prices. Do you really? I mean, let's see. Maybe you do. Okay, it could be. A person could say my prices are highly competitive. You know, that type of thing. All right, fine. That's fine. But to go ahead and say that, you know, everyone else I charge more, but you, I'll do you a favor, right? That's not right. If that's not true, then you can't say that. Okay? So there are many, many scenarios like this. It's very difficult to go through each case as it comes up, but the point that a person has to bear in mind, you know, to make a, you know, to, in the Jewish world of handling, you go in certain cultures, in America, it's not practiced, generally speaking, right? Although, you know, sometimes Jews feel that intuitively, like, you have to get the best bargain. I was once in a store in a certain Jewish neighborhood where the merchant said this cost $43, to which the buyer said, can't be 42. You know, so I remember thinking, like, what are you going to do with that dollar? The dollar, what are you going to do with it? You have something to do with that dollar? You're going to save the world with that dollar? So the answer is, because it might, forgive me for saying it, but you know, my pride is that I have to get the best deal. I have to get the best deal. But a person who's purchasing also has to be Erelich. In other words, it may not be mutter to pressure a person to go down on the price if they don't want to sell it for that price, just because, just get off my back, I'll give it to you for that price, go jump in the lake, take it and go jump in the lake, right? That may not be mutter either, it probably isn't, because they didn't really agree to sell it to you for that price. You made them crazy and they don't want you in the store anymore, so they sold it, it's still worth it for them, but who says that's right? That's a different discussion. But the fairness in business, it has to be, I'm just mentioning this because it goes both ways. But we're talking here from the responsibility of the merchant, from the responsibility of the person who is the vendor. He has to accurately represent what he is selling, and he cannot use false ways of getting the person hooked to buy from him. He certainly cannot misrepresent what he's selling, but even to say lines like, I'll give it to you cheaper, or, which when he knows it's not, or you don't know what he sells it to everyone else for, you know, sometimes you don't know exactly what deal he gives other people. You say, I'm giving you the best deal. If it's not the best deal, you can't say that. these are both sides, just in very broad brush strokes. Are the inyanim that are involved in Gnei Vistas. I'm sure we all got circulars last week that if you come to a certain store at 3 o'clock in the morning, that you can get a laptop for $100, and then in the very, very small print, it says while supplies last, and then in the even smaller print that is only visible to a top ophthalmologist, that it says three items in each store, right? So after you stood online for 2 hours, right? So that type of thing is Gnei Vistas. That's Gnei Vistas. If it's clear, if they write it in big print, that's something else. But to do any of these types of things is Gnei Vistas. But as I say, it's true not only when it comes to the business, but it's also in interpersonal relationships, for a person to project himself a way that he isn't, for a person to go ahead and try to gain favor with somebody else by smooth talking him and saying, I would invite you, I would do this, I would say, here, let me show you what I'm going to do for you. And in fact, what you're doing isn't so significant, but he doesn't realize that, or what you're doing for him, you would do for anybody, that anybody would do for anybody. All those things constitute Gnei Vistas. If a person has a real shaila in these areas, it would be very advisable to speak to a competent brother.